It is 4:44, time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us right here in studio.
Good day, sir. Hi. I'm just hanging with the Fuge. And Carrie.
Thanks.
Why is it that coaches are absolutely, like, they sound great when they give you a nickname? I'm sorry, everybody. We're not talking about booze at all right now. We're talking about the fact that Rich Kimball got a really terrible nickname when he was playing Fugitive.
But I still see my senior little league coach.
Yeah.
I'm still the Fugitive
team. That's, why is it, sports coaches especially, or teammates, give each other, like, the worst nicknames ever, you know? They're like abbreviations of their name, but they're the worst, and it's always E. You know, Fitzy or Richie or, you know, but Fuge.
Now, yours is a tough one. What did you have for a nickname?
What did I have for a nickname? I don't know. I didn't really have a nickname.
No, it's
tough. I didn't do anything exciting. Like, I when I was a pitcher, I threw junk and no one could hit it, but no one gave me a nickname for that, which was probably for the best, because if you're a junk thrower, you're not going to get a good nickname for that.
Right. It's either a variation on your name or some unusual physical characteristic.
I was only okay. I was always like the best friend of the popular guy, or like the third or fourth best, you know, starter or what, you know, like I started on the offensive line, but I wasn't, you know, I was the center. Name a center. They don't get nicknames.
No.
Unless you're like enormous. Like we did on our football team. We had Iceberg and Glacier, and they were beefy.
Did you have a nickname, Carrie?
I never picked up a nickname. Not in high school.
The only person who gave me a nickname was my history teacher, and it was Eric the Red. And I was like, "That's cool, but you can't have your history teacher giving you a nickname."
No,
right? Like that's not. Yeah. You can't wear that with pride.
No,
unless your history teacher is the cool, and Mr. Brush was awesome. But I mean, like. You need, like, my old buddy Tom Garrison, who's developed into, like, Indiana Jones, to give you a nickname. if a professor or a teacher is going to give you a nickname, right. It has to be, like, tough and awesome.
Yo, E-Dog.
Yeah, I tried E-Dog for a while, but no one took up on it. No. I think actually what's funnier is not nicknames now, but the fact that I have to cycle, like, whenever I'm trying to talk to any of my family member, I have to cycle through every one of their names before I figure out who I'm trying to yell at. But I'm not yelling at anybody today because mom's home.
Oh,
I was soledadamente.
That's right.
For days on end, and single parents, I do not know how you do this. I do not. It's absolutely, you know, I consider myself an okay dad, but when you try to be a great mom and an okay dad, I didn't forget anybody anywhere, and I managed to get everybody fed.
But so you still have the two you began the weekend with.
I mean, I dropped them both off today, okay? I can tell, like at 8 o'clock today, I did. And when I get home, we'll see if Christine remembers what her children look like.
There you go.
Oh, no. It's going to be great. However, she was down like for yoga and like doing and meeting a bunch of our Hindi friends from. And so I was like, yeah, I got ribs in the oven. She's like, I haven't eaten meat for 6 days. I'm like, welcome back.
There you go. Home
and the perfect thing to wash down meat to lead us into the second half of my portion.
What a segue.
That's what I do. So we're finishing up Appalachians, right? And I jumbled everything a little bit together earlier in this month because, frankly, I'm careless. But I wanted to try and figure out what I was going to continue to talk about for this last segment on Appalachians. And I kind of got to thinking as I wandered around my store and tried to get inspired. My eyes fell on, as Rich hinted at before, it was a cider. And it's a cider with an appellation and a long and rich history. And it got me to thinking, you know, there's a lot of merit to thinking about what comes from where and thinking about whether it should be name protected and the merits of doing it and whether it's really, really worthy, right? Because I think now in America, we're coming into a time where we're definitely settling on, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, right? And everybody's like Jersey tomatoes and Idaho potatoes and Maine lobster and everything. You know, specifically it's sort of a state by state affiliation with things, like states claim things, right? But it's not regions of states. It's kind of like, you know, it's more for publicity rather than actual sort of state tourism publicity, almost, as opposed to any actual recognition that the food is of superior quality. And so I kind of, when I saw this cider, so this is a cider from the region of Normandy, France. And we've talked a little bit about Normandy, France. It is basically the one region in France where they don't do wine. The climate is very similar to Maine, actually, in a lot of ways. It's harsh. It's cold. It's got a very short ripening season. And it's no coincidence, of course, that Maine and other parts of New England are very successful at growing cider. And a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about cooking with cider and why cider is so big in this part of the world, we did talk about how cider really in the New England area and the colonies really kind of saved everybody's need for drunkenness, frankly, when phylloxera hit and wiped out all the vines. So you lost all your spirits and you lost your wine, but God bless you, you still had fermented apples. But this is an appellation, right? So this is from Etienne Dupont. Etienne Dupont is currently not the current head of this estate. It is his son and nephew. But Etienne was the nominal head of the estate for the past 40 years. And one of the things that he did is that he went and petitioned the government to, again, because this is a region of France where they have no wine, and wine is a huge industry in France. I mean, I know that sort of sounds obvious, but it's really enormous. Like, when phylloxera hit France, it decimated, like, banks went out of business because they had loaned so much money and had so much money invested in the wine trade. But this part of France does not have that. So he went and he said, listen, we're making a really, really quality alcoholic beverage. In fact, several. This is not only where great ciders come from, but also, of course, the great fermented apple spirit, Calvados, right? Distilled apple spirit, rather, Calvados. And he said, you know, we're doing something here that is every bit as special, every bit as researched, every bit as deliberate as what they're doing in Burgundy, in Bordeaux, in Languedoc, in other places in the world, you know, in Rioja, in Ribera del Duero, in Porto, in Chianti. These people are following practices that have been developed over years and making things that are recognized by everybody pretty much around the world as the best. And so he said, can we get a little name protection? Can we get a little love here? And so they're like, well, why? You know, what makes you guys different? And so he really pointed out, so we always talk about terroir, right? So the soils in this region, so it's a little region right in the heart of Normandy called the Pays d'Auge, P-A-Y-S, Pays, D' A-O-G-E. And they have very, very poor soils, right? That's marl and chalk, and it's not really good for dense, you know, fertile growth, much like, wow, what does that sound like vines, right? But in this case, we're taking that and applying it to apple trees and also in pear trees. But really, for the subject of conversation today, apples. And it's creating very small apples. It's stunting the growth of these apples. But according to Dupont, the aromatic intensity then is increased. And the ratio of skin to pulp favors extraction of tannin, right? So you're getting similar, we've talked about how tannin is a preservative, right? You're getting a liquid that is full of something that can help this product age and be, you know, have natural shelf life as opposed to throwing in tons of preservatives. Because this is a certified organic product, what we're sampling today, USDA, as well as Agriculture Biologique, which is the European certification. This is, they do not believe in using chemical fertilizers, because those things swell the fruit by, you know, introducing water retention, right? And we talk about water retention. We don't, you know, we want to make sure that the ratio of waters to minerals, just like in grapes, is what you want when you hand, and these are hand-harvested apples, in this case, 13 different varietals on this 30-hectare property. It's just like wine. They take it just as seriously, if not, you know, more than some winemakers, you know. So for that reason, because of the efforts of this guy, they were granted AOC, so Appellation Origine Contrôlée. I have trouble switching between languages. It's absolutely fantastic. It's unpasteurized, it's unfiltered, it's real. So again, Etienne Dupont, this is his cidre bouche. It's dry, it's got, yes, a little grip to it. It's just great. And on a day like this, when it's just, by the way, it's, God, this is a nice day.
Oh,
Maine.
perfect.
And this
for today.
Is perfect for this. This is just absolutely fantastic. And you do this with a little bit. So the local cheese is camembert. This with camembert is just, you're good. Get a baguette and you're fine. I'm running out of time, so I did want to mention our wine of the week is the Botany Dry Muscatel. You want another killer wine for summer? Muscatel, also known as Muscat d'Alexandria. It's dry. I know this sounds weird. It tastes like Fanta lemon lime, but like in a great way. It's just absolutely fantastic. Also, June 21st, I can finally reveal what I didn't reveal last week. The mystery brewery that we are going to be helping introduce is Bell's. All right. Bell's Brewery, very, very well known, probably best for their two-hearted ale, but all their stuff is great, so do come out for that. We're also going to have our friends from Crush Distributors there pouring some of their wonderful organic and biodynamic wines, perfect for summer again. So no matter whether you like wine, you like beer, it's going to be a great tasting. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day, great reason to come out, and then maybe stroll around downtown Bangor since it's going to be light till like 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, I love it.
I love June.
I don't see a fish hook in your head.
No, that's good. No, it was all, yeah, my read our newsletter from this week, folks. It's you know when you get a premonition of foreboding of danger, and you say, somehow this is going to turn out badly, and it does? Well, teach your son how to fish. Give him one of your favorite lures. See what happens. But anyway, we all survived.
I need help reeling this in, Dad.
The best part was when he said, do you want me to help take it out? And I said, I don't have any better choice. So yes. Anyway,
he'll,
Eric
he'll
Charles,
never go
I love you.
Again.
No, we got right back on the horse. We're good. No, no, we're all good. But I'm just, you know. You live and learn.
There you go.
It's a good thing.
Mom's back. Life is
good. Mom's back. Life is good. I'll see you all in the shop. Cheers.
Thanks, Eric. Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, Bangor, with Message in the Bottle.